Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Sarah Fenske. When ag tech company Benson Hill committed to building a $52 million headquarters in St. Louis, it was the fall of 2019. The coronavirus wasn't on anyone's radar. Well, times obviously have changed. What hasn't is that the company remains committed to having people work together. So what does that look like at a time when we're all rightly terrified of each other's germs? Benson Hill CEO Matt Crisp is back with us, and we're going to talk to him about that today and get some insight from some other companies as well. Matt, so many other companies are still remote at this point. What made you want to go ahead with this new office and get it opened up right now?
Well, we had clearly begun that process well before the COVID pandemic, but we installed a series of measures back in the spring to go strictly to a critical workforce only. And we set up a crisis management committee that allowed us to put in place a lot of the analysis that was needed to inform our safety measures and how we could or would ultimately begin to roll folks back into the workplace. And after the building was completed, slightly delayed, we made a series of decisions to take a cautious, staged approach to reintroducing folks to the workspace, more or less, I should say, allowing them voluntarily to reestablish themselves in the workplace. And so that has been done, but we're still operating at really conservative levels of capacity.
We're also joined today by a second guest. Megan Ridgway is a principal at Arcturus. That's the St. Louis-based architecture firm. And she worked with Benson Hill on this new building, which is 160,000 square feet. So Megan Ridgway, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sarah. Pleasure to be here.
So as Matt described there, these plans were already well underway. Construction was already underway when the coronavirus struck. How big a challenge was it to get this building ready under these drastically changed new conditions?
Sure. I might underscore underway, because by underway, really, it was almost complete. We were about 30 days away from Benson Hill occupying their new building when the pandemic struck, and, you know, here we were mid-March, kind of a little bit upside down on what tomorrow would bring. So underway, I think it was well underway.
That sounds like possibly the worst timing. Like, you're not yet into the building working through the kinks, but you're so close, you might as well be. I mean, Matt, that had to have been so frustrating, that timing there.
It was frustrating, but the team, you know, we're a startup. We like to say we maintain the nimbleness, you know, to act quickly. We respected the issue. We found solutions. The everyone involved, and Megan's team especially, was really agile, you know, through what was a trying time.
So, Megan, what were some of the challenges you took on in terms of trying to retrofit this building?
Yeah, absolutely. There were a number of pivot points that we definitely had to put in place as we looked to try to enable Benson Hill to occupy the space. But, you know, what I might offer even before getting into some of those is there were a number of things about the design that Matt and his team from the onset of working together had established that were really, really critical to who Benson Hill is and their culture, mm-hmm. that were built into the design from day one. And those things really revolved around flexibility of the work environment and promoting wellness within the workplace. And so by flexibility, it, you know, what I would coin as workplace of choice, there was a lot of different types of work settings that were deliberately planned into their headquarters. So whether you needed to have a closed door, focus work time, you know, so you could go to a private huddle room. If you needed to have a more open collaborative space, we had that. if you just needed your one-on-one workstation, there was that. And so just in broad brushstrokes, the flexibility that was planned as a reflection of Benson Hill's work style and culture kind of laid the groundwork for the pivot with the pandemic to be a smoother road than would have been had we not already planned for that. Hmm. And then from a wellness standpoint, again, it's a, you know, a pillar of Benson Hill's identity. And so we had built into the original design multiple wellness rooms, places for meditation, access to outdoor patios on the upper levels of the building, all opportunities to release anxiety throughout the workday, or, you know, just, you know, sort of practice mindfulness so that you, you know, the employees can do their best work. And all of those things really have proved so beneficial now, dealing with COVID as we are.
So these are kind of these classic, the startup type office that we're all so jealous of people who work at startups. Matt, do you have people just chomping at the bit trying to get on that list so that they can come back and work out of this office?
Well, we've really made it everyone's individual decision. Mm-hmm. So in as many cases as we can. I mean, there's obviously some critical staff that we're very grateful for, who've been coming in now for months and never really had a reprieve, frankly, outside of the office. But for the remainder of folks that we've tried to create some optionality, we want it to be comfortable for them. And so this environment that Megan is describing is a physical reflection and part of who and how we identify ourselves as. And so when people feel comfortable coming back, we're allowing them to, but different, as you would imagine, that's a personal decision, and different folks are going to feel differently about that and what's right for them and their families.
That makes sense. And are there certain measures you had to take to make people feel safe coming back? Like, yeah, we're gonna check temperatures, or we're gonna require masks, things like that.
Well, we do. We do temperature checks. We all wear masks outside of meeting spaces. We social distance. Megan and her team, she can talk to some of the reconfigurations that she alluded to, and the more flexible workspaces that allow for more spacing in between people. And then we also invested in some pretty interesting air filtration approaches. But Megan can comment on some of these in better detail than I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd be happy to. As Matt was mentioning, there were a number of things that we did have to put into place once we were faced with COVID. You know, starting at sort of the front door of the building, the access to the building are touchless doors where you can wave your hand and get through the vestibule and into the lobby. Once you're in the lobby, there is essentially a tablet that you can stand in front of. Again, it does a touchless screen of your temperature and gives you a green light to move on through the building if you are fever-free. Mm-hmm. Those are both things that weren't planned originally. There is extensive signage throughout the entire building encouraging one-way circulation through the building on main corridors and main stairwells, so that the overall flow of people is controlled, mm-hmm. therefore trying to minimize exposure to one another in close quarters. In terms of the furniture that was purchased, we were able to re-space out furniture to make sure that we really had compliance with the CDC guidelines. You know, those are ever changing, but one thing that's been rather consistent is the recommended 6-foot-plus distancing. So with the flexible furniture, we were able to modify that layout to accommodate that. The added air infiltration, or air purification, I should say, excuse me, that Matt mentioned was also a late add. Benson Hill decided to go ahead and pay for the installation of what's called a plasma ionization system, which is a fancy way of just saying a souped-up air purification system for the whole building. But it really helps remove germs and particulates from the air, and as sort of a belt and suspenders approach to what would be your typical mechanical system in any building. So there was quite a commitment from Matt and his group on trying to make the workplace as hygienic and healthful as it possibly could, so that, you know, their folks can focus on what they need to do, which is nourishing the world.
Matt, was there a pretty significant price tag to some of these things you chose to add?
Well, I won't get into the details, but there's some of these that are certainly not inexpensive. But look, I mean, for us to be out of the office, for us to not be maximally productive and as safe as we possibly can be, it's well worth the investment in our people.
Well, Matt Crisp, on that note, I want to thank you so much for joining us today to share about what Benson Hill is up to, and also congratulations on your new home, so to speak.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the time today.
And we're also talking still to Megan Ridgway, who's going to stick with us. She's a principal at Arcturus, this St. Louis-based architecture firm. And we're also joined today by Bob Harrison. He's the chairman and president of the Daniel & Henry Company. That's an insurance broker and risk management company in St. Louis. They have about 170 employees. And it turns out most of them are working at the office. We wanted to talk to Bob about that. And so he's here to do just that. So, Bob Harrison, welcome to the show.
Sarah, thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Bob, I understand you're accommodating people who want to work at home, but you still have a lot of people at the office. Why was it important to have that option for people?
Well, I really applaud our team who have done such a great job. We've really, I would say, behaved like a normal company in these extremely abnormal times. But
and that's a rarity these days.
Yeah. I mean, and we've leaned on technology to do that, right? And we've invested in that idea to be able to work from home and work remotely. And we're empathetic to all of our team members who don't have great child care solutions or great elder care solutions. And we're certainly, you know, working around those challenges that everybody has to face. But as time has gone on, we really kind of, the euphoria of what appeared to be efficiency is kind of waning a bit. Mm. And we really realize that we are a company whose culture is best fostered by working from the office. And so we did a lot of the things that Megan and Matt have talked about trying to make our workplace safe, but encourage folks to come back in, and almost so bold as to say, I feel like we're a little bit safer here than folks are from home.
Wow.
Sometimes with, you know, kind of the way in which their environment, they're operating in their own little friend bubbles or neighborhood bubbles or family bubbles. And, you know, here we're kind of all very businesslike, masked up and respectful of, you know, all the things that are important to keep people safe in the workplace.
Megan, Bob had such a great phrase there. He talked about the euphoria waning of working at home and some of the efficiencies that initially came with that. Do you see many clients who are now trying to find a way to bring people back?
Absolutely. I think if you would have asked most people in April of this year, you know, what do they want to do about getting back to work? Everyone was very focused on how do we get back to work? Can we get back to work? And I think what's happened over the past many months as this pandemic has raged on longer than any of us had expected or certainly hoped is the mind shift has changed to why do we want to get back to work? And not in a challenge of not wanting to return, but in a really introspective way of what is so meaningful about being together? And I think that companies that I've been interacting with have been able to really distill down the answers to the why and underscore the value of being in a workplace together. Mm-hmm. And so we have a number of companies, you know, in the region that we are systematically going through the why with them, highlighting their highest priorities of being together, and then strategically working with these individual companies to identify the right plan of back to work and a safe work environment for them. And while there are a lot of commonalities about how we need to practice healthfulness when we're together, there are definitely some uniquenesses too, depending on how a company answers the why.
We have a caller who had a great question. Unfortunately, we're a little pressed for time here, so I'm just going to paraphrase his question, which is, what kind of starting point are we looking at on a budget for people who want to do this? I'm sure it matters greatly how many employees and how many square feet we're talking about, but is there any rule of thumb for this kind of like safety plan reopening?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, if you were going to engage a firm like ours, let's say just for some space consulting, I think you can do that at a pretty competitive price point, you know, where you can just look at some hourly consulting to have some ideas and guidance on how you could enter the workplace. But in terms of true capital expense, I very much am a believer that, you know, with some creative thinking, it actually doesn't have to equate much at all beyond perhaps the purchase of some PPE for your employees. But I think you can just be creative about how you use space.
Bob, we are rather short on time here, but I have one last question for you. And that is, you know, a lot of people were super nervous about coming back to the office. And now you guys have shown that this can work really well. But that buy-in on the front end can be so difficult. What did it take to achieve that, or any advice for other companies on how you were able to do that?
I think we were very clear that we wanted people to stay safe and remain safe. And we didn't want to jeopardize anybody in any form or fashion, especially those with health issues or comorbidity or challenges at home. But I think to a person, most feel that the opportunity for collaboration and informal communication and spontaneous conversation occurs really at the office. Mm-hmm. And we've all done it through conference and Zoom and every other kind of technology. But nothing replaces that that ability to kind of face-to-face, encourage each other, help each other solve problems, and be there for each other and for the client in the long run. And I know this is a pandemic that will be with us for a moment, but going forward, you know, I think that just, it needs to be reinforced. And our folks really do embrace that. They know that this is, you know, a blip in the history of a firm, and we will get past this as well.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. And I'm glad that experience has been so good for people at your company. So, Bob Harrison, Chairman and President of the Daniel & Henry Company, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sarah.
And Megan Ridgway of Arcturus, thank you so much for sharing your insight.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Podcast episodes of St. Louis on the Air are available at stlpublicradio.org or subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. That's 90.7 KWNU. Thank you for listening. I'm Sarah Fenske.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.